Welcome to Invasion of Privacy. I'm Kate Wolf.
And I'm CG Erickson.
And today, Alan Fuchs is here joining us.
Hey, what's up?
And I said it right because before we started, I had to ask how to pronounce it because I thought it was, because it's F-U-K-S. For years, I thought it was Alan Fuchs. So when they had us on the same show and asked us to be clean, yeah, I was like, his name's Alan Fuchs.
There's a guy named Alan Fuchs here and they just asked us to be clean.
So now I know. I just thought because you have a popular podcast that was about sex, I believe you still do it all the time. So I thought you changed it, but no, it's Fuchs, which you just let me know.
Yeah. No, listen, it's an understandable mistake, but I get it. I think Jeff Gurian did like an article a while back, like a long time ago, when I went back to Fuchs. Fuchs is my real last name. So I was born a Fuchs, it's on my birth certificate. And then my family changed it from Fuchs to Finn when I was about, I think, around 16 years old. I think they got a deal or something. I don't know what it was, but so Finn has been my fake name and Fuchs is my real name. And it had nothing to do with the podcast either, but I totally understand the it's a sex podcast, and
I thought it was like this guy fucks, like this guy. This guy definitely fucks. That's what I thought it was. But
the most on the nose, uncreative porno name.
Well, now I know.
Yeah.
Okay. So the first thing I want to talk about is I got an email from, I believe, a listener. I'm sure a listener because I think that's how they got my email, and they were asking me for advice. And I was like, well, can I bring this to the podcast? And they gave me permission, but anonymous. Okay. So here is the email and then we will say what we think. Hi, actually, I am in love with the married man. He too loves me. He told me that he will marry me. That's why I accepted his proposal. But 2 years back, he denied and said he couldn't marry me. Can you help me with this? Will he marry me? So that's the email that I received. Do you guys want to go first? And then I'll say what I think.
I think Alan is probably the expert in this kind of affair.
Well, first of all, there's a problem with this whole notion of everyone is lying either to themselves or to other people in this relationship. And the fact that you would even want to be married to someone who would have an affair. And again, I don't know these people. Maybe, there's stuff going on that I'm sure they're all wonderful people, but that's not a good start. You don't want to start off with someone who's treating you as a side piece. And then your goal is to get married. I don't know. Is it that bad out there? Is it that hard to find good dick? And I think that's the problem, right? You'll get confused. They get one good characteristic out of a guy and they're blown away. And they forget they're like all these negatives too, And like we see that with marriage. Like people get married all the time and they, it's like a royalty cosplay. Right, like you dress, you think you're the wife. The bride thinks she's a princess, and she treats us like he's her Prince Harry or something, and it's so ridiculous. It's like he's a plumber from Jersey. He's an alcoholic gambling degenerate. Why are we pretending?
It's two fives.
This is an event with with pious people, and there's nothing pure about any of this shit. So, and he's not that great. You're just like, your marriage to me is like overselling to people. Like it's the height of lying. So
it's a very optimistic way to look at
it. It is. You're lying to yourself about how great this person is. And God forbid they're as good as you think they are. Because if they're as good as you think they are, that means they're better than you.
Yeah.
Right? And then you have this power, this uneven power dynamic that's going to cause you so much anxiety in your life. Mm-hmm. But then, because it's never 50-50. And then like, if they're lower than you, then, I mean, what are you doing? You know? what are you doing with this loser? And then you're lying to yourself because you're going to the marriage, to the wedding ceremony. And then you're lying to the people in the ceremony that this guy's the catch. It's not a catch. Nope. I mean, how many catches are there? They're like almost no catches. I mean, how many weddings have you been to where you're like, no one here is winning? So her goal, she's got to bring her goals to a more realistic level. Her goal is just be a homewrecker, continue as a homewrecker, destroy his life, his wife's life, and your own life, so you get on with the next thing and do it as quickly as possible. Because right now she's doing it in slow motion.
No, he was the perfect person to ask that to.
Yeah, I am a little speechless in terms of what to add, but I will add, because I have seen certain situations where the person leaves the person that they're married to and it works out. And then I've seen situations where they never leave, even though they say they're going to leave. And like Alan said, I don't ever think it's great to start when someone is lying to someone else, because trust is so important and you're building on broken blocks in a sense. So it's like, sometimes life just happens and you fall in love with someone who's in a relationship. But then at that point, I think you're supposed to try to be as honest as possible, as quickly as possible. And if it starts to drag, then you're like, all right, we're both having issues setting boundaries and standards. And then at that point, I think it's better to be alone than to torture yourself. I think it's pretty torturous. Like you were talking about anxiety. I would be a wreck in that. I need a partner who's really going to be there and have a real life with me. So I would say, you know, maybe he'll leave his wife, maybe he'll marry you, but I would just get out of that situation for now, because it sounds extremely painful and unhealthy. If you can, sometimes it's easier said than done and you're stuck and you can't get out. And that's when therapy and healing work and all that stuff can come in. Do you want to add anything?
Get out of that situation and get over love. love itself is a terrible foundation for a relationship. You want to be as autistic as possible with the other person. You want to have all your walls up and you want to make it a purely utilitarian dynamic where you can use whatever goods and services this person can provide and vice versa. And it's purely transactional. And now you have a reason to be together. And then when you don't, it's not, you're not devastated. You move on to the next person. So walls up, guards up, get over love. I'm taking that a little too far, but what I'm saying is, like,
maybe
go for the warm fuzzies elsewhere. You know, a relationship should be more about, here's what I'm doing for you, this is what you're doing for me, and treat it like an above average job. So
I'm not going to co-sign that statement, but we can agree to disagree. I mean, I definitely think in a relationship, love should be there, but I think it should be reciprocal. That's what I'm going to take out of that, is that there should be give and take. Like, you should both feed each other and make it more able for each other to live a good life. Like, if the person's helping to pull apart things, so the foundation of your life's crumbling, like it's harder to get to work, it's harder to do stuff, that's not the right thing, no matter what. I do deeply believe in love, but whether you do or don't, make sure you are getting back what you're putting in or you will be drained.
Yes, get back what you put in. I'm not saying be a sociopath, but I'm you know, have compassion. Like, if the person, you know, their car, your partner's car broke down and you have a car, yeah, pick them up. you know?
Yeah.
If it's raining, you have an umbrella, yeah, let them go under your umbrella, you know?
Don't give them the umbrella. You let them whatever leftover space under your umbrella, they can try to use that. You don't that give it over idea. To them.
And now you're reinforcing an uneven power dynamic. So you have to maintain strong red lines even when there's an umbrella involved.
Alan, are you in a relationship right now?
Yes. And I'm shocked that it's lasted this long.
How long have you been in a relationship?
It's been about 5 years now.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Okay.
So he's saying he did it right. That's the way you do it, and then it lasts.
No, I told her right away, you know, there's a good chance I'm on the spectrum. I'll be here for you, you know, like if you're hungry, I can solve your hunger problems. You know, I can solve I'm a good problem solver. So I'll be there for you with problems and, you know, like I'll cuddle. And whatever else you need, you know?
Well, I'm thinking if this guy, what if he's the fucking man?
The married dude?
What if he's the man? What if, like what Alan said, there aren't many catches out there, and this guy's the fucking man. And so this lady, you know, she's just trying, she knows he's, you know,
if
he's
he was the man, he's got it. If he was the man, he would not be living a lie, in my opinion. He can be the man if he gets the courage to work his way out of that and find love or just do whatever he's supposed to do. Maybe he's meant to work on his marriage. I don't know. But I think you can't really be that good of a catch if you're that deep and steeped in being hidden. Like my favorite people are pretty honest, you know, like.
But what if just like the more women you have, the more the man you are? But like, that's kind of proof of how good you're doing things. And some people would say it might be. Not me. I don't say that. But some people would. And so if this guy's just got...
Not catches. Catches wouldn't say such a thing.
Or what if like he's just too tied in financially with this woman, you know, with his wife. And so like he hasn't been able to snap it off just yet. But he knows, you know, at some point he will. I mean, it's a little sketchy, but I don't know the people. I would need to know the people. And I know if the woman's our listener, she's a great catch.
I can make some assumptions about this guy. He's living a meaningless existence, and he's too dumb to understand the existential nightmare that he's facing. And this is avoidant behavior. So this is how he's feeling that spiritual hole. He thinks like, oh, if I just rack up numbers, I can distract myself from the fact that death is looming, and you know, I do, my existence is meaningless.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know if we really helped this listener, but we definitely gave opinions, possibly options.
I feel like we helped a lot of people today.
I don't know.
I think Alan helped a lot of people. Much, much worse.
I just think life is definitely tricky. There are lots of grays. There have been scenarios that I got in that I wasn't proud of, that I, as quickly as I could, worked my way out of. I don't think having multiple women, that's like an old belief system that needs to go. It doesn't make anyone happy. It just leads to drama, and then dudes having banged up wieners at the end that can't even work. So it's like, treat your penis right. Don't think that the more you gather, the merrier. That could be the more germs. It could be the more drama. Like really, really understand who you're, you know, touching privates with, I think is also just smart. You know, we get very attached. Even people who think they don't, I believe we're swimming in each other's energy fields. So just, you know, protect yourself. Don't let anyone just swim in that poontang or ride on that magic stick.
Don't let just anyone swim in that poontang. That's what she's trying to say.
Yeah. everyone should raise their standards unless they're already raised. And in that case, congrats. All right. Next topic. So I did watch an episode of the new Kardashians thing on Hulu. I didn't like watch the full thing, but there was one piece that did get me where Kim's son was on Roblox and this like thing popped up advertising a sex tape, like another sex tape or whatever. And I don't even know if another one exists, but she got really emotional. And I just think, and this is my opinion, you guys can share yours, but I think things like revenge porn is so tacky and sad. Like the fact that Ray J is still kind of like, look at this sex tape from Kim years ago. It's like, dude, like she's moved on. Like, it's just so invasive. And I really just want all of that to go away. Like people in relationships, sometimes that dumb videoing or smart videoing happens, but like using it against the person when they've moved on just seems really sleazy. So I hope nothing comes out. I do feel for her in that. I don't think it's cool.
Yeah, I think we should bring back duels. Because some of these stories, they go on too long, you know? So like if Ray J could have a duel with Kim Kardashian and only one survives, and that could just put this whole thing to
I thought you were going to say with like her man, but you put Kim in the duel. Herself.
Yeah, I definitely thought you were gonna have her man fight in the duel for her, but I feel like Ray J would kill her pretty quick. Yeah,
like that's a really awful.
No guns. We don't know. She could be fast on the draw. You don't know.
Oh, a gun duel.
Oh,
wait. Yeah. I guess that's what a duel is.
Oh, you're thinking like a what? Like Thor. Jousting or something?
I was thinking like you slap him in the face with a glove. And then
No. We gotta like I want trial by some form of combat. And when it ends, you know? And maybe, like, she could put... Listen, it'd be even better. Throw in Pete Davidson to fight Ray J. And Ray J would get what he wants. He'd get the attention that he's clearly desperate to
But
to
one of get. Them would die.
Okay. I mean, you know, we're kind of headed in that direction, you know?
You are right. You're a problem solver.
I most definitely want them to bring back gladiators and have like, you know, just empty the prisons. Like you have to fight to the death if you're in jail. Like you just, you know, that's what you do with the people in prison. I don't know that that's great. Like if I went to prison or something, cause you know, that could happen, but I do think those days were like underrated. I would love to watch that. I would love.
That's really sick.
We would go every Friday night, Kate. We would go to no, watch the wouldn't. Gladiators. Dude, you would love it. After the first time. Wouldn't. No, you think you're too high and mighty now because you're an American and you have good morals and stuff like that. If we had gladiators, oh, it would be the shit.
That has ended because for a reason.
We'd watch it's in barbaric. 4K on our 4K TV, QLED. And dude, it just to see like, you know, like grubby little itchy Larry fighting like, you know, this other guy, like they have to kill each other with whatever weapons. That would be so fucking awesome.
Be terrible and immoral. That's like.
I just like the idea of resolution of any kind so we could all move on, right? So however we get there, I'm fine.
Like, I think if that show, like, remember when they used to do bum fights and they used to pay the bums, like, to fist fight each other? Like, I thought that was a pretty good premise.
That's the sickest thing I've ever heard, and I didn't even know that existed.
If it was kill each other, that'd be fucking huge, dude.
Oh, my God.
Everybody who watches the movies The Purge, and, you know, they watch Spartacus on Starz. That's an older reference, but yes. Everyone who watches that shit would love it. And there's millions of people who watch that shit.
See, I'd be more, instead of bum fights.
Dude, bum wants it more?
See, like instead of bum fights, I'd be more interested in rich people fighting. Like, I want to see like the Koch brothers fighting to keep their tax breaks. You know, I want to see old rich guys who are so money hungry and the greed is just, it's all out there in this like vulgar display. I think we should see more of that so people know
Who would win? Elon Musk versus Jeff Bezos.
Yeah.
Elon. Yeah. Elon, I think, though.
And only one can have a dick-shaped shuttle, you know, at the end of it. I think that'd be great. This will also get rid of redundancies. You know, we don't need Bezos and Musk. You know, we could just have one. And it'd be
they
much
can run both of them.
Yeah.
They're both good enough at it.
Okay.
See, I just felt like they didn't have really anything to fight for that would really I feel like you really got to get somebody in a frenzy. And so I did think, you know, it's horrible. If you actually watch the bum fights, it's really sad. But like I feel like they were on to something if they got the right bums. Like you need the right bums to like, you know, like encourage you like to lift your spirits and restore honor in the people. Like you need a bum that you can like the movie Gladiator, like he wasn't, you need somebody to inspire you. Like they found the wrong bums, but I feel like I want to take that over.
You know what inspired him was they murdered his whole family in Gladiator. It was like sick. Like we need to like not do things like that.
No, but what's awesome is like then he just goes and kills people.
Maybe a show. If we want to do a competing homeless show, give them both 10,000, check in with them in a month, see who's the most, you know, has progressed the most.
They don't have to fight for the 10,000?
No. I just feel like UFC homeless edition is not like in what I'm thinking.
See, I like Gladiator. Gladiator's a classic, but I think I'd be more interested to see like what if Russell Crowe came back and he always hated his family. And he comes back and it has no impact on him whatsoever.
He's like,
and then he has to go figure out who he is. To me, that'd be a much more interesting movie.
You got to talk to someone about that. That remake. So I don't know, Alan, if you saw this. I made CG watch, but Harry Styles performed at Coachella, and I'm not normally a huge Harry Styles fan. I have nothing against him. I like some of his songs. I'll hear him on the radio.
Wait, can I clear one thing up?
Yes.
It's not because I don't like bums or people in prison. It's that I would want them paid handsomely if they won. I want to give them a chance to be someone. So go ahead. Next question.
Thank
but
you.
I mean, when you're talking about bums, I mean, that is one way to address the issue of poverty and homelessness. I think another way is
and then there's one less homeless guy you have to worry about, doesn't have a home.
If it was you guys running for office versus Trump, I might have to vote for Trump.
Really.
Your guys' problem solving actions are very worrisome.
Well, I'm just saying the one homeless guy just came out. He's not homeless anymore. He's at least at the Holiday Inn, and the other homeless guy's not homeless anymore because he's in heaven.
Oh my God, Jesus! This is like Squid Game, in a sense.
Yeah, that's why everybody loved it.
I think Elon Musk can really help with this, where we can have like a homeless shuttle, and just have them orbiting the earth. And they get to have fun, you know? I don't think, can you smell in space?
Oh my God.
And it's like, it's out of sight, out of mind, right?
I, once again, do not come.
They're gonna get fed, you know. They don't have to worry about weather anymore, you know. The biggest hurdle is just adjusting to zero gravity. It's really hard to hurt somebody when you're like all floaty.
That's true. All right. I feel like you have to choke them out. Like that move still works in zero gravity. the behind the back chokehold. I feel like that still works in zero gravity. I'll be interested to find out.
You know what wasn't written on my topics ideas? how to deal with the homelessness situation.
Yeah, we have to get rid of these very, you know, lax involuntary, like there are a lot of like different, like, you know about involuntary holds?
Involuntary what?
Holds.
It's so hard to grab someone off the street and put them in a mental institution. And that's a big problem in our society, in New York at least. I think in other states it's a little bit easier. But New York, everyone has a lot of rights, and you know, if they're out and about,
just be like, that dude's fucked up.
What?
That dude's fucked up. You're coming with us.
Yeah.
Can't just do that. And I feel like you're right. You should be able to do that. Everybody knows that dude's fucked up.
I think if 90% of the subway car agrees you're crazy, you should instantly be taken away. Like
yeah.
Like if I'm commuting to work and I see even the tip of your dick, you need to go. You need to go to space for a while. You get away from us.
Oh. Okay. So going back to Harry Styles performing at Coachella, and yeah. I'm not normally, like I said, a huge Harry Styles fan. I've somewhat talked about how he wears a lot of dresses. I'm like, do whatever, but I normally don't look at him in any kind of sexual light. But when he performed with Shania Twain at Coachella, I didn't know he had been a huge fan of hers and that they had talked for years. But like he brought her out, and I have to say, like, she like rubbed on his chest and was like kind of getting up in there. And it was the first time it made me see him actually as like a man, because he kind of like stiffened up, and that was like his, you know,
he was singing, I feel like fangirling.
He was singing, I feel like a woman,
like looking at her,
but
face.
She still managed to like, you know, get that little hand in there. And I don't know, he like kind of puffed up a bit. And look, Harry can do whatever he wants. I really support anyone following their truth, but I did kind of like the Shania Twain, Harry Styles vibe, even though they're both with other people. I don't know, it was pretty fascinating and unexpected. I don't know if you guys, I know I showed you and you didn't really feel anything at all from it. Did you see this, Alan, or no?
I just felt like,
I know he's wearing dresses a lot, but I haven't seen the performance.
Yeah, have you ever worn a dress?
No, I've never worn. No, that's not true. I did a sketch in which I played the Statue of Liberty as a prostitute. So I wore a mini skirt and I wore whatever the hell her gown. What is that? Not even a gown. What would you call her?
Is there a gown
like where the bottom is cut, like so it's a mini skirt, like that you can buy sexy Statue of Liberty for Halloween?
Like there's no, like that. You'd be surprised what's out there.
Yeah. No, that's sad, because I actually started picturing it, not on you, but I was like, wait, that might look hot on a chick. Like if it's a tattered up slutty Statue of Liberty costume.
I looked oddly better dressed as a green woman. It was the weirdest thing. And I was like trying to I was like curious, can I like if I pretend, like, you know, I was acting, but you know, like I wanted to see, like, can I get anyone interested in paying for me as a Statue of Liberty for a night, you know, a night of pleasure, whatever. and a bunch of cars stopped, you know. I think I could have sold this. You know,
okay, but, so you were,
it was real life, you were like, you were taping people in real life.
It was like a hybrid. It's a sketch that was like a hybrid of like written stuff and like real life, you know, like having like real people in it.
Nice.
So yeah,
the man on the street sketch
a little bit. Yeah, but it had like we had like a story arc and a bunch of scripted parts. You know, so we had one, so this is like when the statues, you know, everyone wanted to tear down all the, you know, a lot of this problematic statues, right? And some of them, yeah, rightfully so, should have been torn down. So we had a fake protest staged to tear down the Statue of Liberty. So we had about like 15 people, actors, who got together and said, we're gonna tear down the Statue of Liberty today. And
did you have like picket signs and shit, or like,
yeah, we had picket signs and yeah, and like bystanders and people online. We only released that clip at first, thought that like we really were protesting and we really thought that we were going to tear down the Statue of Liberty with just 15 people.
Oh my God.
There was so many like rageful comments like about, you know, do these morons have any concept of physics? Do they have any, you know, all that stuff. So it was fun. It's really easy to pull people. Really, yeah, yeah. It's online. I can send it to you.
Okay.
But yeah, but what were you talking about before?
Have you ever worn a dress? I wore one.
Oh, like, the dress thing. Yeah.
We did a skit when I was like in like what grade? Ninth grade, maybe. We did a skit, and I played a girl in the skit. So I wore like a dress. It was like a tight sleeveless dress.
How'd you feel?
I looked kind of jacked in the dress because it was like sleeveless and it was kind of tight. So, and I was in good shape back then. And so I felt like all right about it. I felt all right about it. Well, you know, like I still felt like a man, like it wasn't me auditioning as like a woman. Like, how would I be as a woman? I like that I still looked a little bit manly in the dress.
Got it. Okay.
But, yeah.
Okay.
I would wear a muumuu every day to have Harry Styles' career.
It's a good quote.
Yeah.
So, Alan, you're Russian, and now we've got this war going on.
Oh, damn, you had to get racial. I had to bring a race card in.
Well, I'm Russian and Ukrainian.
We look
Are
like
you trying to get me canceled?
Hey, hanging out, and then you had to bring the Russian shit in. Damn.
I'm Russian and Ukrainian, but I know that you have, I'm more detached from my Russian heritage than you are. So how are you feeling about everything? Do you have feelings on it? Do you feel super detached since you are here? Like what, how are you feeling about the whole thing?
Well, you know, I've always said, I think Putin doesn't go far enough. And,
I like how he doesn't give a fuck. This is really refreshing.
And you know, he's just he's showing a little too much compassion here. No,
oh my God, Alan.
Well, here's the thing.
Alan doesn't give two fucks. That's the name. That's the name.
My comedy special is gonna be called Zero Fukes Given. So
oh nice.
Yeah, I gotta stay on brand.
Yes.
No, so here's the deal. So like I used to say I'm Russian because Americans are stupid and they have no concept of geography, you know? People don't have, people live in New York, they can't tell you where Queens is, you know? So, I mean, rightfully so, Queens sucks, but I live here, it sucks. But I agree, Manhattan is the center of the universe. But yeah, but I always said Russian because people are morons. They had no clue what Ukraine was up until like about a month and a half ago. But in reality, my family is from Kiev. You know, I still have my father's aunt. I still have family that's living there right now. She's on dialysis, his aunt. And she got stuck there. And, you know, like an idiot, like she stayed, even though the signs are all there, you know, that he was going to invade. But, you know, I feel horrible for them. They're stuck there. And they have to deal with this right now. It's absolutely insane. We kind of fucked them, you know, they had nukes and we told them, get rid of the nukes and we'll have your back. And then they're like, all right, you have our back? You're like, oh, well, you know, kind of moved on since then. And, you know, we don't love you the way we used to. And now it's just, you know, we just said what he had to fuck you, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah. So that's basically what it is. And now, like, they're like, what the fuck? Like, had we had nukes, this would never have happened. You know, so like you left us in a lurch. So that's why, you know, I think it's great that the United States is sending weapons to Ukraine. But the guy, you know, Putin's not going to stop until he completely destroys every last structure, every last life form in there. He doesn't care. you know? So people are saying hopefully it won't escalate to World War III, which to me is like, I mean, is life really that great? I mean, wouldn't you want to see World War III in your lifetime?
I was just saying, as long as a new kid,
see what, like Doctor Strange 25? We get the point. He's like a wizard. All right, you know. How many more Batmans do we have to see?
Oh, we watched the new Batman last night. That shit was tight.
It's great. No, it's tight. It's awesome. But you know, do I have to like live long enough to see like Harry Styles as Batman and like Pete Davidson as Batman and then like Pete Davidson's kid as, you know, like it's like, all right.
I want to take it back and see Sylvester Stallone as Batman. Just like he just did a Rambo a couple years back. I want to see him just a couple more years beat up and he's the Batman. And then it's like Batman 2045. You know what I mean? And they do something like that, like they just did with Blade Runner. And I think
I'm all for elderly superheroes.
Yeah, like I just want to see him like he wasn't.
Should be seeing more combat. So I've always said that.
And he's badass. And I think in that Rambo movie, I'm not proud that I watched it, but like in that Rambo movie, he I think he ripped someone's throat out or maybe their heart out. He said over the phone, because the guy was like, come get me. And then Rambo was like, I'm going to rip your heart out through your chest. And then at the end, he did it with his hand. He did it. It's fucking ridiculous, bro. So I want to see him as the next Batman doing shit like that.
I think you just made my point. I'm welcoming World War III. I'm okay with
it. If the nukes hit, I've said it before, I just want a direct hit on me. I don't want to be a survivor after the nukes hit. I don't want to be trying to clean up the mess. I just want the nuke to hit me and then be one of the people. Like, I don't want to see the new world after that.
Oh my God.
Or whatever, be one of the few.
Well, let's
count
pray.
Me out. Count me out.
Well, here's the caveat. If the nuclear missiles hit and it causes widespread damage, which then causes my rent and living expenses to go down, then I'd want to stick around for a little bit. And less comedians, less competition.
That's more true. Gigs. That's true.
We could do more Kevin Lepka gigs.
But like there's not enough people to like do your services either. Like if you have money, like there's not somebody at BJ's to go pick your order. You know, like there's not like there's a
That's
lot
true.
Of motherfuckers missing.
That,
there's not the truck driver to get the shit to like you're gonna be missing out on some shit. Like you might not Chipotle might not even be able to serve people because their whole chain is down. Like that's the shit that I want.
You're making
about.
Alan so sad about that, his
yeah,
World
that's
War
the
III.
Shit I don't want.
Fantasy.
I can't. I need the service. I need every restaurant open so we can choose from anything from Arby's to Red Robin.
Arby's.
To Outback. I need to Chipotle. I need every to be able to think about that every time we go out on Friday night or whatever night. Like I need all the choices open. If not, I don't want to be in this world.
Where are you? Where do you live that those are the best restaurants?
After I started naming them, I was like, can you do better than that? I was like, I didn't mean they were the best. I just wanted to name a variety. My point wasn't to name the best.
We're
ones,
in Pennsylvania,
but I do,
Alan.
But we're, we're in a horrible part of the world. Right?
Listen, so, I'm
terrible, but
it's horrible.
It's not Manhattan.
It's no.
I've been to those restaurants, and the people in there look like they've already been hit by a nuclear bomb.
Oh my God.
Not Red Robin, bro. Not to everything but the kitchen.
Well, that's talking about Red Robin.
What about Chipotle?
Everything but the kitchen sink burger has like bacon, ham, eggs.
Ew.
It has a whole breakfast on top of the burger.
That's disgusting.
What do you get? How do you, what?
Which brings me actually to our next topic, which I don't even think you meant to do, but I want to know how you feel about this, Alan. There are certain restaurants that serve the most ridiculous concoctions. Like, you go to these places where they sell milkshakes with like a cake on top of it and 10 lollipops and
like a piece of cheesecake and then like a whole big soft pretzel, and that's all on top of the milkshake.
I saw
shit is ridiculous.
A video of someone getting like a Bloody Mary, and there was literally a small full rotisserie chicken coming out of it. And I'm like, okay, I just want to say that don't impress me much, as Shania Twain would say. It's like, I'm not, just because you're piling dessert on top of dessert, like, I guess it can make sense if you're going to share that with 10 people.
The pictures like, look amazing. The pictures
it
look
seems
amazing.
Like all that goes to waste. I'll let you guys fill it in, but I've just been seeing some of these like crazy concoctions.
It's shit a funnel cake on top of a scoop of ice cream on top of a waffle on top of a whole milkshake.
It's, and then like 10 lollipops coming out of it. And it's just like, all right, everyone, let's calm down.
The pictures look amazing.
I'm all for that, because if I see someone drinking a Bloody Mary with the rotisserie chicken, you know, and like a cheeseburger and a donut on top, to me, that's great, because I can identify who that person is right away. And I know I'm, you know, it's like one of those things. It's like when certain people, when bad things happen to certain people, it's, you know, it's impolite to say, oh, you know, inside I'm secretly happy. But inside, you know, you're watching people, you're like, yeah, you should accelerate your death. Like, what are you doing? You know, like, what are you doing? You know? You're drinking a Bloody Mary. You can't, you know, Bloody Mary's not good enough. It's been good enough for years. So now you're like the Ray J of your bar. You need that. You can't live just drinking a regular Bloody Mary, not having attention on you. Everyone's got to watch you, you know, drink this thing and eat this thing, and it's gross and you don't care. So you clearly don't care about your own life. Why should we care about your life? I think it should come with a heroin needle and a little suicide kit. It should come with a little, with like little baggies and a zip tie. And a minute at the end of it, you know?
Oh, shit.
Yeah, dude.
The bag with a zip tie.
I guess that is one way to look at it. I just, especially when I see those milkshakes with 10 things on top of it, I'm just, and everyone's like, oh my God, best milkshakes ever. I'm like, are they? Because if the milkshake was good, you wouldn't need
take that shit 10 apart
shit, you know, 10 things like piled in there.
If you got to take that shit apart first, it's too much.
Yeah.
It's too much problems, man. I didn't come to the restaurant for more problems. I came for solutions.
Okay. Well, before we wrap it up, I want to talk about, so Shane, my kid who is now 15, started comedy again. He was doing, I don't know if you ever saw him when he was young, Alan, but he was going on stage sometimes like 5 or 6 at like the Lantern or New York Comedy Club. And then he went on at like 8 or 9, but I saw the nerves really go through him. And then I saw the adrenaline after. So I was like, let's chill till you're a little older and you can handle those crazy emotions that come with getting on stage. But he started doing it again. He got up Saturday and last Thursday.
And I just want to say, Shane is my favorite science experiment in comedy.
Oh my God.
And I'm so glad that you volunteered your own child for this.
Well, he killed and he was very happy. And I purposely held him out of the comedy entertainment world, because I didn't want him to have a Macaulay Culkin like turbulent thing or anything.
Why? Macaulay's great.
Now Macaulay's back. Macaulay's great now. He might be making a movie called Stoned Alone, which I think's great. So Macaulay came back.
Wait, Macaulay's great now?
Where did you get that? He went through a real, I believe, heroin phase and was looking really, really skinny. And now he looks healthy, I think.
Okay.
I don't know where you're getting this backwoods news from, or like, you know, nobody else saw, but like, is he on E? Like
no, now he's fine. But
where did you find this out?
That he was going through like a drug thing years ago?
Just like information about him at all. When did it come up?
He was on shit like TMZ, like pictures were popping up of like, look at Macaulay now. You know, and like America's sweetheart. And everyone's like, fuck Macaulay. Meanwhile, we all loved him in Home Alone. You know how hard America and the world can be on.
He was
on
amazing.
People. But anyway.
I feel like he could have died right after Home Alone and like he'd go to heaven. You know how sometimes people die after they put on like a great performance? Like the guy in The Crow died during The Crow. And then like Heath Ledger died after the Joker at Batman. Like, I feel like, you know, their work here was done. I feel like Macaulay's work was done
mic drop. Home Alone.
After Home Alone 2. Oh my God. I'm not going to say one. I'm going to say need to stick around a little more on this earth till he's about 9 years old and do Home Alone 2. Because Home Alone 2 was hitting too.
What about
I'm glad Macaulay's still my
girl. What about the was it The Good Son?
Yeah,
The Good Son was when it was really winding down. Was when
him and Elijah Wood, who was my middle school crush. Elijah.
Did you know that, Alan? Her, she
no
had,
one knows.
She
that.
Was the only kid who had posters of Elijah Wood. No one else knew who that fucking was. She's like, his eyes are so beautiful.
He was my the middle school.
Was he naked on Broadway, or is that another guy? Oh, that was a Harry Potter guy.
That was, yeah.
Daniel Radcliffe. That's
Harry Potter's Daniel Radcliffe.
What, is he on Broadway now?
I've got those two guys mixed up.
Got it. Child, Elijah child. Wood is Frodo Baggins. But I mean, if you're not big into that, then you don't know who that is. So that's fine. I'm embarrassed.
Well, anyway, Elijah was a real dreamboat back when I was in middle school. And then
you had the poster above your bed. So you could lay in bed and fall asleep to the poster of Elijah Wood, right?
Yeah.
What a fucking
stop. I was a child. He was such a cutie back then. Not that he's not cute now, but you know what I'm saying. He doesn't do it.
So Shane is back to stand up?
So Shane's back to stand up. He gets up. He's going up again this Thursday at the Comedy Works. I'm not even on that show, that one. I'll be at the Comedy Works, though, May 5th, Cinco de Mayo, because I have like a little bit of Moroccan in me. No, that's not what. Anyway, it's just a girl's show. Anyway. So yeah, Shane's doing it, and I'm just proud of him. And I hope that this science experiment, as Alan would say, goes great. So
your little petri dish. Do a lot of people come out for comedy on Cinco de Mayo? Is that a big comedy night?
Probably.
Yeah, I mean, you get a lot of drunks, you know.
Yeah, that's what I figured. Yeah.
The worst, which Alan can probably attest for, is when I used to have a weekly show at the Lantern, there was this thing called SantaCon, where people dress up as Santa and get so drunk. And like, I don't even know if they do comedy on SantaCon anymore, but like, you just have a show of drunk Santas heckling you. And it's just, that was a pretty rough one. So Cinco de Mayo is probably rough-ish, maybe if you're like barking people in, but I think for like a typical show, it'll be great.
You know how every heist movie, like a lot in heist movies, whenever everybody's dressed the same, they can pull off like a major heist. I want to do that in SantaCon. If you're dressed up as Santa, everybody else is dressed up as Santa, you can pull off a fucking heist. It's all about the costumes in those movies. If you want to, like, whatever you want to do, if you got a cop uniform, you can do it. You know,
maybe we should all write that movie, SantaCon Heist. No, it'd be so bad.
Be so good.
I bet she gets greenlit. That's not the worst idea I've ever heard. We should try to get Elijah Wood in it, you know? You'll get your top sex fantasy satisfied.
No, not anymore.
Still top five.
He'd still be fuckable in a Santa outfit, right?
I don't want to make the movie. I want to pull off a heist. I want to do a crime.
You actually want to commit the crime.
Yeah. Well, you can't because you just gave it away. So you can't. Now it's a movie.
You think all law enforcement listens to this podcast? You think, oh, it's over now. I said it on our podcast.
The Village Lantern reminds me of, I remember I did a spot on a show there, and there was a guy who was heckling me and wouldn't stop. And, you know, I was like, let me just say, you know, I've grown a lot as a person since then. But I was a little nuttier, let's say, back then. And he wouldn't stop heckling me. And he said something about having, like, and he wouldn't, like, I tried, like, doing crowd work with him, and he wouldn't, every question just answered like an insane person. Like, asked him where he lives, he said on Mars. And then he said, like, he has knives in his bag, and he's not afraid to use them.
Jeez.
But he kept interrupting my set. So, and then when he said the knife comment, when I got off, I called the cops. But I called him in as a heckler. I said, there's a guy heckling. I'm a comedian. And he wouldn't stop heckling me. And he needed to come down here because I think he, you know, he may be dangerous. So when the cops came to the Village Lantern, it was like fucking a whole ton of squad cars just screeched in and made a whole big, you know, to-do, the sirens and everything. And you know, the Lantern back then, I'm sure now it's an upstanding, wonderful place. But back then, you know, there's some people who maybe made a living that may have included the sale of some things that weren't all that legal, you know? So as soon as the cop showed up, like half the bar just like scurries out. And the waitress is furious. He's like, who the fuck called the cop? Like, I thought we all knew no one ever calls the cop. And then the cops were like, we don't know. Like, someone said there's a heckler. And the waitress is like, someone called the cops because of a heckler? And she's like, who the fuck did that? And I just walked away. I'm like, I don't know. It sounds like whoever did that is not in his right mind.
I love how everyone ran when the cops came. Half your audience ran because they thought the cops were probably there for them.
They thought they were coming for them.
Oh my God. And then that you didn't even like say it was you. You're like, yeah, what a maniac. And you just like,
yeah. Like, who's this? Jesus. You can't deal with the heckler? What kind of piece of shit comic was that person?
Well, thank you so much for joining us today. Where can people find you, Alan?
So you can find me on social media at Alan Fuchs, AllanFuks. On YouTube, Nightmare Fuel Media. We have sketches coming out. And we have a bunch of sketches. You can check out the Statue of Liberty sketch. There's a sketch where in the height of COVID, I played, I free hugs, you know, the free hugs people, they hold signs that say free hugs. I always thought those were like just,
I did not know about those people at all.
In New York, it's a big thing. They're like everywhere you'd go before COVID, people would hold up signs saying free hugs. I thought those were just mentally ill homeless. That's an organization. Those are like people who like work for an organization. They had like a website and everything. So I played the last guy standing who would not give up on hugs when free hugs folded during COVID.
That's fucking awesome.
Yes. So I went to Central Park in a hazmat suit trying to hug people during COVID.
In real life, you were?
Yeah. It's pretty amazing.
So check his stuff out, everyone. For me, at the Kate Wolf on Instagram, if you want a healing, kwolf2f27@gmail.com. CG on Instagram is cg.erickson. And thank you, everyone, so much for listening. Bye.
Bye, y'all.
Bye, guys.
Pete Rose logged more hits in baseball history than anyone else. No one has come close to breaking his record. But he was also at the center of one of the game's biggest scandals, a scandal that changed baseball forever. In the new book, Charlie Hustle, New York Times bestselling author Keith O'Brien chronicles Pete Rose's spectacular rise and fall. Drawing on firsthand interviews with Rose himself and his associates, this is Pete Rose as we've never seen him before. Buy Charlie Hustle, available wherever books are sold.